Well, grace and mercy and peace be with you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Where is God? Have you ever wonder that? Ponder? Where are you, God? Are you absent? Are you clueless as to my situation and the situation of this world, God? Have you left us alone? Wouldn't it be nice if you could just see him? In the Bible, there's this concept called the glory of the Lord. The glory of the Lord. And perhaps you've heard this before. I know you did. You just heard it in the readings a couple of times. You've definitely sung it in songs. But what is this glory of the Lord? It's not an abstract idea. It's not a mere metaphor. As a matter of fact, in the Bible, the glory of the Lord, the glory of God, is the physical, visible manifestation of God's presence. It's the divine image made available to human perception. Or in simpler terms, it's the way that you can actually see God, the glory of the Lord. So where is God's glory? Well, that is actually what Isaiah is talking about today in Isaiah chapter 40, verses 3 through 5. The glory of the Lord had been with the people of God in the days of their wilderness wandering, from the time that God led them up out of their slavery in Egypt, on the way to the promised land, during their 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, God's glory was with them in a visible way, in a pillar of fire by night and in a pillar of cloud by day. God promised them that in this pillar, I am present for you in a way that you can handle. You know when you see this pillar that I am with you. My glory is among you. I'm making my dwelling with you. It was the very presence of God that made God's people special. This is what made them a chosen people, not because of their holiness, not because of their faithfulness, but because God's presence was with them. It was even evident to the foreign nations that saw God's people wandering in the wilderness. They saw this pillar of fire and this pillar of cloud, and they knew there's something different about these people. All they needed to do was keep their eyes on the pillar of fire or the pillar of cloud, and when it moved, they moved. Just keep your eyes on the glory of God. Later, years later, once God's people entered the promised land and became an established nation, under the kingship of Solomon, a temple was built in the city of Jerusalem. And at the dedication of this temple, the glory of the Lord filled the temple. It's a cool story. I want to read this for you in 2 Chronicles chapter 5. This is a description of what was happening at the dedication service for the temple. It was the duty of the trumpeters and singers to make themselves heard in unison in praise and thanksgiving to the Lord. And when the song was raised with trumpets and cymbals and other musical instruments in praise to the Lord, for he is good and his steadfast love endures forever, the house of the Lord was filled with a cloud. The priests could not stand to minister because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the house of God. What a sight to behold. God's presence, his manifestation, giving them a very clear picture that he is living with them, among them. This had been the reality of God's people. It had been until the glory of the Lord left the temple. Like a heartbroken lover, God had to walk away from his faithless people. And even more than that, because of the faithlessness of the people, God even allowed them to be taken away from the promised land and carried off into the foreign land of Babylon. And that precious temple that was the house of God was completely destroyed by the Babylonians, wiped out and burned to the ground. And these people of God, cast out into exile without their temple, without an idea that God was among them, these are the people that Isaiah is writing to. These are the people Isaiah is writing to, people who feel like perhaps they don't have a hope or a future or a way to go. And what does Isaiah say to them? Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3, in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. Isaiah is putting out a call for a major construction project. You got to build a highway. We need to build a road. The king is coming. The glory of the Lord is returning. This was customary when kings of empires were coming into town, especially if their empire was expanding. In these days, you had to build a road, often in the wilderness. The project manager probably looked at the hills and said, get the dynamite. We got to blow up some of these hills. They're in the way. There's a valley. Fill it up with fill dirt. We got to smooth this thing out. The king is coming with his army and his dignitaries. Prepare the way for the Lord. That's what Isaiah is coming. What Isaiah is saying, the Lord is coming. The glory of God is coming back. He's saying, remember how he led you up out of slavery in your first Exodus? Remember how you kept your eyes on God's glory? He's going to lead you out of this exile for a second Exodus to go back home to the promised land. And it all happened in history. 70 years they were in exile in Babylon, and they were allowed to go back home. They were even allowed to rebuild the temple, which they did. And at the dedication of the second temple, that cloud of glory did not come flooding into the temple. It's not to say that God was absent from them. His presence was still there. But God had a greater plan for the manifestation of his glory. God had a greater, more real, more tangible idea for how he was going to show his glory to all people. And this is where John the Baptist comes into the picture. In the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. We read it today from Mark's gospel, but these words from Isaiah, they're quoted in all four of the gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They all say these words of Isaiah were fulfilled in John the Baptist. John, who came, a man living in the wilderness, preparing the way for the coming of God to all people. But he was preparing the way for the glory of God, not in a pillar of cloud, not in a pillar of fire, not in a building, but the glory of God is going to be coming in a person. In a person, our Savior Jesus. John 1:14 says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, made his dwelling among us. And we have seen his glory. Glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus is the ultimate and permanent expression of God's glory. Jesus is the new temple of God, the full glory of God in this man, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And John came to prepare the way for the Lord, but not with a road construction project, not blowing up mountains with dynamite and putting fill dirt in the valleys. However, John did come with a type of construction project, working on the hearts of all people. A construction project to tend to the hearts of people for the coming of the Lord. What was John's message? Repent. Repent. For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent. For the glory of God wants to come into your life. Repent. Prepare the way for the Lord to change your life. Repent. Jesus wants to come into your life. Are you prepared for him? See, at the coming of Christ, when Jesus shows up, every valley will be lifted up. Every valley will be lifted up, Isaiah says. And so to prepare for the coming of Christ, those of you who are living in a valley need to repent. And what is a valley? Well, perhaps you're trapped in a pit of addiction. Addiction to a substance. Addiction to a sinful activity. Addiction to anger. Addiction to despair. Repent. Turn. That's what repent means. Turn away from those things. Turn away from this valley of the shadow of death and turn to see the glory of God in Jesus Christ, who is with you in the valley and came to meet you there to lift you up out of the valley. Turn from the darkness and into the light of Jesus. Welcome him into your life. Let him change you. Repent. This is what Jesus has come to do. Let him do his work in your life. Repent. At the coming of Christ, every mountain and every hill will be made low. To prepare for the coming of Christ into your life, those of you who are living up on a high hill need to repent. Some of you act as though you have no need of a Savior, thinking that you have scratched and clawed your way up to the top, and by no means will you show anybody a sign of weakness or vulnerability, lest you crumble one little step. Your pride is so strong. When Christ comes into your life, that pride will be knocked down, and you will find out that you are not the king or the queen of the universe. So turn from these things now and meet the glory of the Lord in your Savior Jesus Christ, who has come to meet you at this place and lower you into a place of humility to receive him, your coming king, who has come into your life to change your life. Repent. Turn from your sin and welcome Jesus into your life. Let him change you. Let him knock you down in order that he could pick you up. It's what he's come to do. Repent. Jesus Christ, he is the ultimate and final and permanent expression of God's glory. The shepherds, they saw the glory of the Lord on that night that Jesus was born. And when they saw it, they were terrified. In the manger, in the infant Jesus, people saw the glory of God. At the transfiguration of Jesus, the disciples saw the glory of God in Jesus when his clothes became dazzling white. But on Good Friday, the disciples deserted him. They gambled away the garments of Jesus, and the Father turned his back on his Son. Jesus cried out from the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? And the Lord's presence left the temple to die there alone on the cross. 3 days later, the glory of God came flooding back into that man Jesus, and he rose from the dead, The glory of God inhabiting the temple of human flesh once and for all. And this demonstrates to us that when Jesus shows up, the glory of God shows up. And Jesus will show up again in his second coming. And as Isaiah says, all flesh shall see it together. On the day of Christ's coming, all flesh shall see the glory of God. All flesh will see the glory of God on that day that Christ comes again. But even today, we get tastes of God's glory. God is not absent from your life. He is your Emmanuel, which means God with us. By His Spirit's presence, God has made Himself known to you. Every time that you engage with God's Word and the Holy Scriptures, that is God's glory being revealed to you. That's like your own pillar of cloud by day and pillar of fire by night. That is God coming to meet you in His words to guide you and lead you and show you His presence. Here in the gathering of God's people, Jesus promises to show up. He's here with us. Here in His body and blood given and shed for us in this divine mystery, Jesus is present. His divine manifestation, you can see Him, touch Him, even taste Him to see that He is good for you. God is here. God is among you. God is even in you. Your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. God's glory is with you. And yet there's still more to come. There's still more to come. For one day, what we see dimly now, we will see face to face, and the full glory of the Lord will be our reality forever and ever. And all flesh will see it together. And we know it's going to happen. You know how we know? For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. And what He says, He does. Amen. If you're able, I invite you to